You will have seen at the forecourts, it's been impossible not to notice prices going up since the US and Israeli war against Iran. So how does the whole supply chain actually work? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, like, share wherever it is you get your podcasts. Now, today we are going to be talking about something that everybody is talking about at the minute because it is affecting your pocket, whether that's through home heating oil, whether it's through filling up the car, whether it's just driving past the petrol station and seeing those numbers tick up and up and up above €2. But you may also have noticed that in different parts, even within the town that I live in at the minute, I have two Circle K's and the prices are widely different in them. So how does it actually all work? How does the fuel get from the ground and pumped up to the petrol station? Who's buying it where and how do the costs all get passed on to you, most importantly? Well, to discuss all of that, I'm joined by Kevin McPartland, CEO of Fuels for Ireland. Kevin, thanks a minute for joining us.
No bother, Sean.
So you might just bring us through some of that. So let's start with just a very specific example. Petrol station down the road, how do they buy their fuel? Are they buying it as one collective, say, Circle K or Certa or Apple Green? Are they doing it all individually? How does that work?
Yeah, so you talked about there being, you know, two stations close by to you and one would have a different price to the other. And why would that be? Well, there's a number of different elements there. So the first is we have sites that are owned by those major groups, the likes of Circle K or Apple Green or Maxwell or whatever. But then you have others that are essentially franchises from those companies and they are independent businesses. They decide on their own prices, but they'll have an arrangement to buy from their supplier, exclusively, and hence them having that brand. And then you think about, well, why they have different prices? Well, it's the wholesale price that they pay. And when the markets have been as volatile as they have been over the last week, you've seen prices go up by many cents on a day. So what that means is that if Forecourt A bought their fuel on Tuesday, the price was actually down about 6 cents a litre on the wholesale market versus Wednesday when it was back up. The 6 cent. So you can have that situation where one has bought on a particular day, got a better or a worse price, but that's the price that they're basing their resale value on. The other thing we need to think about then is people, and over the last week and a half, with all these commentators talking about crude oil pricing and, if the crude price has gone down from 120 to 90, that should mean nobody in Ireland is selling crude oil. So if you think about the major brand names that you know, and I don't want to start using names because if I use an example of one member, it sounds like I'm only talking about them.
Yeah, well, we could take it as the general sweep of stations that are out there. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you think about them, they don't buy crude oil. They're not refineries. So if you think about the entire supply chain, so there is a well, whether that be in a sea or on land or whatever, there is a well. Crude oil is pumped out of that. That is then sold to a refinery. Well, it has to be transported to a refinery, first of all, then sold to that refinery. The refining process takes time, and it's also very energy intensive. So if you think about as one of the things that's been driving the price of refined products up over the last couple of weeks has been the very high energy costs. So the price of gas has gone up too, and there's a lot of gas used in refining oil products into the petrol, diesel, and kerosene that we use in Ireland. So that refinery then has it, that takes the time, and then they must transport it to the end market. We have one refinery in Ireland, Whitegate, down in County Cork, and that produces about one third of all of the fuel that we use in Ireland. However, that is focused on creating diesel. Refineries, when you refine crude oil, you make petrol, diesel, and gasoline. And where we think back, and it feeds into some of the problems that we're having right now in that kerosene is particularly badly impacted. We think back to the evolution of the refining sector globally. So at the time that the Western Europe, if the EU's territory was refining, it was building its refining sector, the focus was on petrol because back in the day, almost every passenger car was petrol. So they were designed and built to create the maximum petrol that they could and have less focus on diesel and kerosene. In Eastern Europe, they were developed at a time when passenger cars were beginning to switch over to diesel. And so they were designed and built to maximize the production of diesel. However, in the Middle East, the refineries were designed and built to maximize the production of aviation fuel, kerosene. And so that means that when we talk about the Strait of Hormuz now being the particular pinch point, that means that no petrol coming into the European Union is going through the Strait of Hormuz. About 5% of the diesel that we use in Europe is going through the Strait of Hormuz, but 30% of the kerosene, the jet aviation fuel, but also the fuel that we use in Ireland, we're unique in the European Union in using kerosene for home heating. That means that that product has a particular squeeze right now. So a little bit of a long way around, coming back to the question that you asked, what does that mean then for the local garage or the local home heating oil depot? They don't buy crude oil. The people that they are buying it from don't even buy crude oil. They buy a finished refined product. And the cost for that on the wholesale market is set when the vessel leaves its last port. So in our case, in Ireland, the bulk of that comes from Wales. It leaves a port in Pembroke, has a six-hour journey across to Dublin, comes into Dublin port, is unloaded, and it can be out in a tanker truck a couple of hours later.
Hmm.
So that entire process, if a vessel were to leave Pembroke at 9 o'clock this morning, it would be into Dublin at 3 o'clock this afternoon, unloaded, and it could be on a tanker truck to your local home heating oil depot or your local forecourt this evening.
And that will have set the price for that will have set in Wales based on today's figures. Because one of the things that I think a lot of people find it hard to understand is that when you go down and say you're filling up at whatever station or you're getting your kerosene, you're thinking, well, that isn't the kerosene that arrived today. So why has the price shot up massively? And you might think, well, that arrived last week when things are cheaper.
So there's a number of fallacies which have taken hold. Well, I think we're always probably there, but have been repeated over and over again in the last couple of weeks. I'm so many people telling me the dogs on the street know this and everybody knows that. And it's all wrong. Okay. Let me tell you the truth about it. There are forecourts in Ireland that will get 6 or 8 deliveries a day, that they have such high volume going through them. Not many of them. Let's be honest, there's not many of them, but they put a huge volume through. They'll get 6 or 8 deliveries a day. Most will have one every day or every 2 days, okay? Home heating oil, it's the same sort of rhythm. So the idea that there is a massive stock left behind that, you know, I've read so many comments on news stories and I'm getting so many messages sent to me saying, but should this fuel was bought and paid for months ago. It wasn't. The fuel that, you know, if I go down to my local garage near me in Dublin and fill up today, it's very likely that that came in the last 24 hours. Very likely, because that's a busy service station, you know? So we have to recognize what is actually happening. We have to deal with the reality. The other thing that confuses people a little bit is the talk of there being 90 days worth of fuel held in the country, okay? So that is true. The National Oil Reserves Agency, under international treaty, or the government under international treaty law, has to hold 90 days worth of oil stock. That's in case there's any interruption to the global oil markets, to make sure that we can still get ambulances to people who were sick. The, you know, nursing homes will still have heating and all the essential stuff. So the government holds that, and there's the National Oil Reserves Agency, a really genuinely an excellent agency that manages that stock. But that is not commercial. That is not stock that we have as an industry that we can just pull in and out of. You know, you'll have heard yesterday the IEA agreed a release of strategic stock, kind of an international release. Well, that's NORA that will release that. But when they release it at the market value. So if we were to go and buy that today, and you know, it will be on the market, so we can buy that, but we buy it for exactly the same price as we would buy the stuff that's coming out of the refinery in Pembroke today or the refinery in Cork today. So we have to deal with the realities here. Let's deal with data rather than anecdotes. And the data will show you that forecourts are replenished, some many times a day, some every couple of days. And let's be honest, there will be some that don't need replenishing very often at all, that maybe every week, if you're a small rural service station. But the volumes that go through those are very small. Mm. So they're not typical.
So the I get what you're saying, that it comes into the country today and it's on the forecourts, but I suppose the process of taking that out of the ground and then refining it, like how long does that take? So the oil that might be arriving today, or the kerosene or whatever, Was that months ago that it was taken out of the ground in the Middle East or wherever?
So the lag, so basically what you're asking there is, what is the lag time from the crude oil, the barrel price that we hear on the radio every morning when we wake up, and it and it having an impact on the forecourts or the Hohish Oil Depot in Ireland? That's 2 to 3 weeks. Okay. So when the barrel price shot up to $110 or whatever its actual peak was, well, I think it was more around 120, that happened for a day, then it went back down to 90. So a refinery will not change its prices every day based on what the barrel price was on any given day. They'll level it out over a couple of days when they're selling on their refined product. So that's the way it works. But the lag is 2 to 3 weeks, and the trends follow that absolutely. So if you look at on a historic basis, pump prices in Ireland and Brent crude prices, you will see that they follow the pattern with the 2 to 3 week lag. Now the it's not that if Brent crude goes up 10%, the price of petrol and diesel goes up 10%, because the other thing that people need to understand is we pay a hell of a lot in tax for fuel in this country. We pay more tax on our fuel than any other European member state, and this is an explainer podcast. So let's explain some of those things. There was a lot of headlines yesterday about the fact that the home heating oil in Ireland went up by 8 times the European average. Well, we're the only country in the EU that uses kerosene for home heating. In the rest of Europe, they use a diesel-like product. So what I said at the beginning, we have this particular pinch on kerosene because of the geography and the fact that it has to come through, or a large element of it comes through the Strait of Hormuz. That is why kerosene has shot up in price. The other difference is we pay a lot more tax for our home heating oil in Ireland than anywhere else. If you think that in Ireland, we're paying 13.5% VAT on home heating oil, and compare that to Northern Ireland, where they pay 5%. And in Northern Ireland, they don't have a carbon tax on their home heating oil. They don't have the NORA levy. They don't have the Better Energy levy. So all of these things have an impact. And when the price for the actual product, the commodity price, increases, that means that the take from VAT also increases, because that's a share of the price that you put on at the pump. So, last week, the government was making all sorts of allegations about the fuel industry. But the only people who made more money last week was the government. There was an extra 38 million in tax collected last week alone on fuel products. So, we have to deal with the data. I get the emotion, Sean. And one of the really frustrating things at the moment is we know customers are hurting. We know that people are going, geez, my home heating oil's cost hundreds of euro more than I had budgeted for. What am I going to do without, I'm not going to the cinema now on Saturday when I was going to go. I'm not going to take the kids for a bite to eat on Sunday. Well, we know that those are the conversations that people are having in households around Ireland, and we get that people are upset. The problem is when that upset then is directed at people who have no control over the situation. And in Ireland, the fuel industry, look, we're a small country. We're a small market in a global commodity trade, and we don't have any control. We don't even have any influence, frankly, over the commodity prices. The markup on fuel, whether it be petrol and diesel for transport, whether it be aviation fuel, or whether it be home heating oil, is really small. It's tiny. It's a couple of cent. If you were to go into your local garage and put 80 euros worth of diesel into your car, and I walked in behind you and spent 3.80 euro on a cappuccino, they would make more from the cappuccino than from the 80 euros worth of fuel. That's the reality of our industry. Very often people use the fuel as a footfall driver to get people into the convenience store where they might buy, a sliced pan, half pound of butter, or a can of Coke, or whatever it is they're going to buy, where they actually make some margin. That's the reality of this as a business model. So while we understand that people are upset about the price of fuel and the impact that it's having on their household budgets, we have to realize where the levers exist. And the only levers that exist in this market are in government. They can look at the taxation. They can look at some of the compliance costs. They can look at giving people a break that way. And we really hope they do. So we're trying to talk to Simon Harris at the moment and say, look, you need to sit down and have a good, hard look at this.
Yeah. And Simon Harris had a few things to say yesterday in Paris about it. Our own reporter, Jessica Woodlock, was there.
I do think it's really important that we try to get a handle at Eurozone level on the potential economic impact of the conflict, because there's a very different economic impact between something that may last another few days versus something that may last weeks and months. And the European Commission told us yesterday that the impact from an economic and an energy point of view could be relatively benign if this is something that lasts a short period of time. So we've got to make sure whatever economic medicine the world may require, that we fill the right prescription. And what could seem like the right thing to do today could actually turn out to be the wrong thing to do next month. On the price gouging issue, I mean, look, I accept that there can be reasons in terms of supply and demand why price can go up. I get that. But I also think there's very peculiar anomalies where in parts of Ireland, only a couple of kilometres apart from each other, the price could be X and the price could be Y. I mean, that can't be blamed on Iran. That can't be blamed on any president of any country. And I think that's concerning.
What the Taoiseach said was, he said he couldn't understand how two garages within a couple of kilometres of one another had different prices. Now, this is the same person who last week said that the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission should look into the industry because he felt there was anti-competitive behaviour. If there are two different prices, that indicates that there is competitive behaviour. I mean, you cannot hold both of those positions at the same time. You cannot say, on the one hand, I think there might be something anti-competitive going on, and on the other hand, say, well, why are they not charging exactly the same price? You know, this is some of the, and Sean, again, this is an explainer, so let's explain what's going on here. In my opinion, the government is getting an awful lot of heat. The government is getting an awful lot of pressure to implement some cost of living measures, and they're wanting to resist that. They're wanting to push back as hard as they can for as long as they can on that. So you have to find somebody else to blame. And what they did was they decided they were going to hang the industry out to dry. And that happened from last Tuesday, the first talk of price gouging and profiteering. And it's coordinated. Let's be clear, it's coordinated. You know, but they did exactly this. There's a playbook here. They did exactly this in 2022 when, you know, we all recall the last time there was a massive increase, sudden increase in the price of fuel after the invasion of Ukraine and the imposition of sanctions against Russia, when they said all of these same things. The same people who are saying this week that it has to go to the CCPC were calling for it then. The CCPC made its report in November 2022 and gave an absolute clear bill of health to the fuel industry. They said that the price increases were absolutely in line with the commodity price increases that were published, and anybody can go and find those. They said that the margins were in the normal range. They said there was no evidence of any anti-competitive behavior. And that's exactly what the CCPC will find this time too. Mm.
So to round this discussion out, Kevin, I suppose, there are two questions. One on the timeline of things. If you've said that crude oil price that we're hearing about all the time is probably 2 to 3 weeks away from the forecourt, why is it that it seems to ramp up at the forecourt very, very quickly there? And the flip side of that being, it always seems, and you hear people say this a lot, I no doubt they've said it to you before, everything ramps up quickly. And when the controversy or when the war or whatever it is over, or the shock, it takes ages to come back down again.
Well, that's another one of these, well, everybody knows remarks. If you look at what the CCPC said in 2022, when this was last being said, they found that it isn't true, that the prices did come down when the markets changed just as rapidly. You know, this, when we talk about transparency and competitiveness in the fuel sector, I don't know of any other product in Ireland where if I go out to buy it, I know before I enter the premises of the people selling it what the price is. If I drive down the road and pass a garage, I know exactly what they're charging. And believe me, if you talked about the two garages in your town where they're charging different prices, I guarantee the one that's charging more at the moment, their sales will be down because the local people, just as you did, notice the difference. And they'll say, well, I'll go to the one that's a couple of cents cheaper. That's what happens. That's the nature of our industry. It is the most transparent. It is the most competitive sector in the country. So why is it that the lag is different? So we talked about the Brent oil price and said that there's a 2 to 3 week lag on that, but that's not the only factor that you have to bear in mind. So while Brent goes up and down, You also have to look at, in conjunction with that, you have to look at the shipping costs. And the shipping costs are a real problem at the moment because the insurers are saying, you know, you can't go anywhere near this area, this region. There are ships that are held in dock because they can't get through the Straits of Hormuz. So there is a squeeze on the availability of shipping. So shipping has increased in cost. In addition to that, you also need to look at the cost of those insurances for the ships. You also have to look at the currency fluctuations between the dollar and the euro, because as is quoted, every breakfast news program will quote the crude oil price in dollars. The shipping that I mentioned is paid for in dollars. The insurance on the shipping is paid for in dollars. And yet we sell our product in euro. And in the last, 11 days since the first attack on Iran, the dollar has actually strengthened. Now, whether that will remain the case is a different question, but the dollar has actually strengthened. So that has had an impact too. So you have this mix of things. The Brent crude oil price has gone up, but that hasn't impacted on prices for petrol, diesel, and kerosene yet. Okay. And the wild fluctuations over the last 11 days will level out a little bit in the refining process. But the cost of energy has increased for the refining. The cost of shipping has increased. The cost of insurance has increased. And the euro is weaker against the dollar than it was. So all of those three things have to be factored into the price that we're paying. Mm-hmm. So if we think that, you know, over the last couple of days, the Brent crude price shot up, it reduced at the announcement of the international strategic stock release, and it's gone back up again. We're not going to have a couple of days in 2 weeks' time now where we see that rapid up and down just based on the crude price, because the crude price is only one of the input costs that we have to bear in mind.
Mm. Kevin McPartlin, CEO of Fuels for Ireland. Listen, thanks a minute for coming on. I think it's good. I'm not sure it's going to do anything to abate some of the anger and criticism that's out there, but I think it is good to at least understand the journey that your fuel goes on to get where it's going and maybe provide that bit of insight. So appreciate you talking to us and let me explain.
One appeal, Sean, just on that. If you're upset about the price of fuel, regardless of who you think it is to blame, I absolutely guarantee it has nothing to do with the person standing behind the till in the local garage. Mm-hmm. And they are being abused. They are being threatened. They're being insulted. And we have to stop. It's just not on, you know? So if you're upset about it, write to me. Fuels for Ireland's email address is website is up there. You can write to me if you think I'm to blame. If you think that it's the CEO of one of the fuel companies, write to them. If you think it's down to tax and government costs, write to the minister or your local TD. But please don't take it out on the person behind the till. They genuinely have nothing to do with it.
No, and they're just there doing a job. I would also suggest write to maybe Pennsylvania Avenue if people are thinking of who to blame in this, to go back to the root cause. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. And let me explain, no doubt we'll hear you plenty on News Talk as well in the coming weeks and months as we continue to parse over the details of it. And that's it for this episode. Let me explain. I'll catch you again next week.